Congress has made it official. They can't make you eat broccoli, but they can tax you if you don't. The Supreme Court's decision that came down recently made it official that the payment that you have to make for not having health insurance is, wait for it, it's a penalty under the anti-injunction part of the law and a tax under Congress's authority to tax you. So it's two payments in one. Yay! Nobody like that one? Well, the Supreme Court came down in a narrow decision with the Supreme Court Justice Roberts leaning on the side of the generally called liberal members in deciding that it was their duty to look at the law in any possible way that they could in order to find it constitutional. So this is what they did. They used the term, he used the term exactation. Now, I'm not an attorney, so I had to look the word up. And when I looked the word up, it described it as a payment, but most often the word associated with that was extortion. And the minority report by Justice Scalia said basically, we have never before called any extortion a tax. We called it what it is. It's a penalty. It's a fine for not obeying the law. But we've never called it a tax until now. So what the Supreme Court has done doesn't decide anything. It's not the end of it. You can hold your breath again, depending upon which side you favor in the upcoming election or which side you think will win, may dictate what you want to do. But I suggest that you look at what's going on and decide to make some plans now anyway. Because what the Supreme Court has done is upheld what is without question the largest reform of health care in our country since in the enactment of Medicare under the Johnson administration in 1965. But also, they upheld probably the largest group of tax law changes in 20 years. There are 27 tax changes in those two health care laws that are often referred to as Obamacare. So some of them have already taken effect. Some of them are going to take effect the first of this year. Some of them in future years. So the question is, what do you need to know about them? Are you prepared for it? Whether you're an individual or a business owner, there may be things that you need to know about that you need to do. Because if you wait until after the election's November 7th, if you wait till after the election, now if there's a new president, he doesn't take office till January, some of this law will then already be in effect. If you wait till January to try to do something, then it's going to be too late. So what's happening? There's the small business tax credit, which went into effect in 2010 for the smallest of businesses. If you have 25 or fewer employees and on the average they make $50,000 or less, they offered us a tax credit if we would pay as employers, we would pay for their health insurance. Why do you think Congress did that? It's not a trick question. It's because they're the group least likely to offer health insurance. So they giving you a carrot to offer health insurance for your smaller employers and the smallest of the least paid employees. Now, the thing about that is it expires in 2015. So they want to get you enrolled and then drop you off. But still might be something to think about because it's a pretty good credit. Starts off at 35% of what you pay, goes up to 65% in 2015. So it might be a way to get started. Or you might not have to worry about it. Because if you're that small of an employer, you're not required. If you employ 25 or fewer people, you're not going to be required to purchase health insurance for them anyway. So you can just ignore it and go on. It's a question for the employer whether you need that to help attract the best and brightest people for your company. It's not necessarily a tax question. Beginning in 2013, the deduction, if you itemize your deductions for health insurance, for medical deductions, that floor above which you can take the deduction is going from 7.5% to 10%. It's going to be harder to get the deduction. Why do you think they threw that in there? To raise money. It's as simple as that. That's what most of these are. Bits and pieces, figured out a way to raise a little bit of money here and there in order to pay for this expansion of the federal government. You got a new Medicare tax coming on wages. If you're a high wage earner, if you as an individual earn more than $200,000 or you as a couple earn more than $250,000, there's a new 9.9% Medicare tax coming on your wages. Okay, well, you know, those people can afford it. You know, if you make that much money, that's not a big deal, right? Well, it's not. If that were the only thing, if that were the only thing going on, then that wouldn't be a big deal. But what else is going on? Well, we also have the end of the Bush tax cuts. They expire at the end of this year, depending upon what happens. President Obama announced yesterday he's in favor of a one-year extension of the Bush tax cuts for those people earning under $250,000, but we'll see. Not all Democrats are behind it, much less the Republicans. There's a new employer responsibility payment. Now that is a fine if you're a required employer. If you're required to provide health insurance for your employees, in other words, if you have 50 or more employees, you have a choice. Let's put it that way. You're not required. You're not required to purchase health insurance. You have a choice. You can provide health insurance or you can make this payment. You know, we can eat broccoli or we can pay the tax, I guess is what they call it. It's our choice, right? Always is. It's our choice to drive 75 miles an hour down the road or get a ticket, pay the fine. It's still our choice, right? Well, that's what's going on. What else do we have going on? There's a brand new tax beginning next year on every health insurance policy, on health medical devices, and on drugs. Whether you manufacture the drugs or import the drugs, it doesn't matter. That's just one more place they're pulling in money. Now, does that really matter to you? Is that going to come out of your pocket? Yes, it is going to come out of your pocket. Corporations don't pay tax because they pass it on to each one of us. If you're a medical device manufacturer and your costs go up by 2.3%, that's basically what's going on, right? Their cost just went up by 2.3%. They're going to look for the same margin. How are they going to get that? Now, medical devices does not include normal over-the-counter stuff like eyeglasses and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like knee implants and pacemakers and stuff like that, maybe. More sophisticated devices than what's going to be sold over the counter. Beginning in 2010, there was a 10% tax on indoor tanning. I don't know why they pulled that one in there. Maybe they didn't have a very good lobby. But that, from what I read at the time, it took a lot of the tanning people by surprise. But again, basically, it's just paid by the retail customer. It's not paid by the business. So did they think the people that tan cause 10% more medical problems? I don't know. If you're an employer, you've probably heard that beginning next year, you have to start reporting the amount of health insurance that you provide on your employees' W-2s. Originally, that was supposed to go into effect last year, on last year's W-2s that we prepared. Then it got delayed for a year. Right now, however, the law currently stands that you only have to provide that information if you filed more than 250 W-2s in the prior year. Or if you have like an employee service, an employee leasing agency, or some other agent that files your W-2s, if you would have filed more than 250 W-2s, if you had prepared them yourself, then you're responsible for doing that. Which means most of us smaller businesses, we don't have to worry about that. That was going to be a tracking problem for most of my clients I know. It's like, right now, we don't have any way that we track how much health insurance we provide any given employee. We would have had to go back to 12 months of invoices and make an Excel spreadsheet or something and add them up. Which is fine if you only got two or three or five. But if you got 100, if you got 125, 150, 250, that gets to be a big spreadsheet. It gets to be time consuming. Because it's just not part of our payroll records. Okay? Because it's just not there. So we have to go back and figure out another way to get it. Thank goodness, most of us, we don't have to worry about that. Something else that got changed. Used to be we could contribute however much money we wanted to what's called a health flexible savings account, or flexible spending account. And basically, it was a tax-free contribution as long as what we did when we pulled the money out was we spent it for medical services, medical supplies, prescription drugs, that kind of thing. Well, they cut back, they've eliminated anything over the counter. And for the FSAs, now they've said your limit that you can contribute is $2,500, I'm sorry. And I saw a question on Facebook yesterday. Why did they take that away from me? It doesn't make sense. And it was my nephew. I said, well, I hate to burst your bubble, but that's just one more way they're raising money to pay for Obamacare. Are they going to get enough money to pay for it? Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? There's also another brand new Medicare tax coming up. 3.8% brand new Medicare tax on investment income. Investment income in this case is defined as anything that you might get from an investment. Interest. Dividends. Capital gains on selling it. It might be income from a passive activity. That's a kind of a term most people don't understand, but basically, let's say any rental activity. If you own rental property, that's a passive activity by law. You could own other businesses in which you're not actively involved in a day-to-day business. And it could be a passive activity. So you could generate lots of income just because you're a partner in a business that you don't operate in all the time. Or, you know, you own 2,000 acres of timberland, okay? When you cut timber, now that's a passive activity or capital gain. And now you could see a brand new tax on that, 3.8%. It doesn't include what I've seen a lot of blogs or emails about. It does not include the capital gain on the sale of your personal residence, assuming you're not already going to be taxed on it. Most of you know that if you sell your personal residence, the first $500,000, if you file a joint return, is free of income tax, $250 if you're single. That's still the law. Okay, that doesn't change. That doesn't come into the computation. You don't get taxed on that. If you got gain above that, then that's capital gain, just like any other capital gain, and it could be included. Or, if you sell a rental property, if you sell anything else, that's part of capital gain, that could throw you up into that tax for 1 year, even though you're not normally, it's not normally applicable to you. One of the things you need to be concerned about is that those two thresholds that we talked about, the $200,000 and $250,000, are not indexed for inflation. So you might not be subject to them now, depending on what inflation does. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you might be, depending upon what Congress does. We never know what Congress is going to do. So who's the biggest... Who got hurt the most with the Supreme Court decision the other day? Some people might say it's the people that own the tanning booths. They were expecting a refund of all that money, and now they're not going to get it. But you know, one of the things I also read recently was that the tax that they expected to come in from that is only about a third what they projected. It must be, and I don't know this for a fact, but it must be that there's an awful lot of indoor tanning salons that are giving away free tans, charging for the towels maybe, I don't know. At any rate, these aren't the only tax changes going on. All of the Bush tax cuts change, disappear at the end of this year unless Congress acts. And that's more than just the rates changing, more than just what we hear about the rate going up from 35 to 39.6. If that was all that was going on, yes, those people could eat 4.6%. But it's the marriage penalty that comes back. It's the itemized deduction limitation that comes back. It's the exemptions that come back. It's a limitation on a lot of those things. There are a lot of increase in taxes that come back. And the analysis that I've done, and it obviously depends on individual situations, but I've looked at situations where people that aren't sitting in the $200,000, $250,000 tax bracket can see a tax increase by 15, 18, 20%. I've looked at one situation where it was 33%. So this is not just to soak the rich. This is going to hit every one of us. And you ought to be prepared for it. You ought to know about it. You ought to do something now. I brought with me one copy of my best-selling book, Breaking the Tax Code, where I write about a lot of the changes in the tax changes from the health care code. I would like to give each one of you a copy. Like I said, I forgot to bring them with me. But if you'll put a business card on this front table, I'll pick them up and I'll send you a copy. No charge. Thank you very much.